When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. Sometimes we hit a shitstorm. And just when we think it can't get any worse, it does. And we sit in the middle of it and go, oh fuck, this is going to be something I remember, isn't it? But more often than not, we emerge so much smarter, more self-aware and determined. And we end up being very grateful for the shitstorm, as messy as it was. My guest comedian Gabby Bryan and I are discussing all this and more today. Okay, so it is 2021. I'm not going to say it's a big year because I say it every single time and it's never really a big year.
Well, 2021 was sort of a big year,
I would
say.
It was the fallout of one of the biggest years and we were all a little bit in shock. There was so much sourdough floating around. No one knew what to do.
The starters that people were shoving, dare I say, up their ass was nonstop. If I had to hear about one more goddamn sourdough starter, I'm not going to do it. Hey, I'm not going to do it. Get your breads out of my face. Put them back in your trundle bed, you freaks.
Fucking loser.
God, that was like, hearing sourdough starter, that was triggering, honestly. This is my moment. Actually, this is my moment right now.
Yeah. What a time it was.
What a good time to be alive.
What a time. But we are in New York in 2021 in this moment. What kind of day was it? Do you remember, like... Or was it just like a general time period?
It wasn't a day per se. It was sort of cascading weeks.
Love it. Yeah.
You know those moments where you're like, oh, life's gonna be a snowball effect.
Yep.
Right now.
Yep. I can feel it coming. Oh shit, it's gonna be a fucking landmark.
And then that. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, coming up in comedy. Mm-hmm. I'm Gabby, by the way.
And this is Gabby, guys.
Oh, hey. Real quick, I'm Gabby Bryan. Nice to meet you.
Gabby, she's from New York.
That's why
she sounds different.
That's why I sound insane. And my hoop earrings, I have two sets of hoop earrings on and they're slamming against each other. So I'm sort of like jingling like a dog, which is very American. Okay. So I'm, you know, coming up in comedy. Mm-hmm. I'm early to mid to late 20s at that time. I won't tell you which one.
No.
And I was working full-time in documentary. Mm-hmm. I had won an Emmy for making documentaries, like having sort of a crazy upswing. Mm. And I was set to direct this big documentary directorial debut. I got passed at the clubs in New York, all of this stuff. Mm. And I was working on this other like docuseries, whatever. And my boss had a mental breakdown, fired me, fired everyone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then like got COVID, went into the hospital. He's fine now.
Oh.
But fired me. The documentary, all the funding of the documentary got pulled out, and the woman who was the documentary was about sort of had a breakdown.
Oh, snap.
That I had to deal with.
Whoa.
Then that happened, and then I broke both my feet.
How?
I'm very fragile. I'll tell you what. I was playing with a dog, and I just ran weird and was wearing fake Balenciaga sock sneakers. Do you know those? And they have no structure. I wouldn't run in those, my girls. And I just went and truly snapped everything, every bone in my body.
Was it a dog that you knew?
Yeah, it was. I forgot about this layer. Uh-huh. The week before, I was living with my ex-boyfriend, and he was struggling with alcoholism and it was bad. And I was dealing with a lot of it. And I finally said, like, final straw, we're breaking up. And we live together. And I was like, so we're starting the journey of him moving out. Okay. And then I broke my feet. He obviously, we couldn't break up. And then he had to nurse me back to hell.
Not when you've broken your feet. You can't break something else.
No.
You can't break that relationship. Sorry, too much has been broken.
Sorry, you're staying. He had to like literally carry me to the toilet. Like I was dead. So I'm like in this toxic relationship that now is extended months. Like I can't put any pressure on my feet. Like I'm on crutches. I'm in a little scooter thing. Mm-hmm. I was in a wheelchair. He was literally carrying me around. So I couldn't, lost all my jobs, couldn't do comedy, obviously. And everything. And now I'm stuck in this sort of codependent relationship for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Oh,
so that was my moment.
It's one of those times. It happens every so often when shit starts to happen, and then literally you go, "Oh, this is going to be a real standout moment in my life." Mm-hmm. I'm going to look back at this time and be like, "Oh, goddamn, how did I get through that?"
Yep.
And you can feel it happening. You're like, "No, no,
like, not a note. No, I don't.
It can't get worse." But then you're just playing with a dog. It's also when we play with dogs, we get very committed. It's not your fault.
Oh my God. I mean, it's joy. It's life.
Pure, unadulterated ecstasy.
Yeah.
Of course you broke your feet.
I was in it. I was a good dog mom. I was fucking.
Was it your dog?
It was my ex's dog. Oh, and then obviously we broke up and then I don't have the dog. If you could imagine. That's one of the darkest things in a breakup. RIP to the guy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah.
When you lose a dog in a divorce, haunting.
Mm-hmm. Have you read the book Really Good Actually?
No.
Have you heard of this? Of this book called Really Good Actually? But in that, she is going through a divorce and he takes the cat. And the cat's called Janet.
That's an insane name for a cat.
Janet.
Is your cat
named? No, it's Michael.
Oh, that's also an insane name for a cat.
It's Mickey. But the pain of losing an animal.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Because you don't realize, like, I was never a pet person because I'm like a sort of clean freak. Mm. And so I never... Growing up, actually, I grew up like half very white trash and then half bougie.
I love this.
Yes. So, and it really defines who I am to this day.
What state?
New Jersey.
You grew up in New Jersey?
I grew up on the Jersey Shore.
Sick.
Yeah. And everything you can visualize about the Jersey Shore is exactly right, by the way.
Nice.
So I grew up in like a sort of half in a very like white trash, like farm town, and then half in a very like bougie Guido Italian town. Mm-hmm. And on my mom's side is the white trash. And, you know, aunts don't have teeth. They're smoking cigarettes inside. It's delicious.
Oh my gosh.
My grandma, who lived with us, had like 12 outdoor cats. And then we had like four indoor cats.
12,
and then
my, aren't those just sort of like wild cats?
Just wild cats.
But there are like 12.
Eliza Thornberry. So there's, so I was haunted by cats, 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 cats everywhere.
Yeah.
And then we had dogs as well, big dogs. So I've never in this adult life, I'm like, I'm not a pet person until I started dating this guy and this perfect angel of a giant, like mutt, blonde though. Mm-hmm. Blondes do it better. blonde dog.
Yeah.
And it just unlocked a part of my heart where I'm like, oh, this is pure joy.
Yeah. This is love.
Yeah.
I didn't know what love was.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what it feels like.
It's true. So I lost that. So that was my moment. Cascading events.
How long did it take before you could walk again?
4 months.
4 months.
Well, 4 months till I was like walking with no pain. But,
right.
But 2 months on crutches and in a wheelchair. And then like a month in a boot. Uh-huh. Well, I had the boot on the whole time, but a month being able to walk in the boot. Mm-hmm. And then like a month of walking with like pain.
Yeah.
And then it was bad. It's so funny how bad it was because I was legitimately doing nothing.
It's one of those things when you talk about it, and obviously at the time it's fucking awful, but then you talk about it, you're like, it can only be funny because it was so bad.
Well, it makes you think, like, I always thought I'm like quite strong and I work out a lot, and like if the end times come and the apocalypse hits, I'm like, I'm bloodthirsty, like I could rock it, you know. And then I break both my feet walking, and if I lose a contact, I'll dive through a window. Like I'm the weakest human.
It must be this way.
Yeah. I have no goddamn chance for survival. The moment the end times come, someone's going to flick off my glasses. I'm going to break all my toes and die.
Oh, shit. First one out.
I'm the first one to go.
This is how I think about that. I think about the Hunger Games quite a lot. When, like, where I would go. And I think that I'd probably go first. Or I'd be one of the last, but only because I would just hide. Yeah.
I think I would talk such a big game. You know those like interview, like on TV interviews they did in like full glam? I'd have on the biggest ball gown and I'd be like, I'm going to murder all you whores. I'm going to fuck you guys up. And then I'm going to get a spear in the neck moment one.
You're going to step off the platform before the time goes.
And I'm like, like, did she just break her neck walking? That's insane. Fan favorite, though. I'm going to be the fan favorite in the Hunger Games.
100%. Yeah. They're all lined up with their little sponsorship.
Exactly. Glossier is like dropping.
Less than 30 seconds in. Like, oh, shit.
I'll be a meme.
Oh, damn it. Oh, that's really funny. I mean, what happened as well with work after that as well? So you had these 4 months of like constant pain, not really being able to move. Mm-hmm. When could you or did you manage to go back to work? What was the fallout with your boss and the rest of
boss? I was not going back to that company.
No.
Obviously, chaos. Mm. But I have a habit, I think because I had such an insane childhood in a way, that I have a habit of finding my comfort zone in chaos.
Yes.
So and you don't, when you're in your 20s, I'm 29 now, so I'm almost 30. So this is a big reflective year, right? And you don't really see, you think you're so smart in your mid-20s and you think you have a handle on what you believe in and how you react to things. And you have no fucking idea. You have no awareness of your patterns. So I didn't realize that every job I was getting into was the most chaotic job I could have chosen that I didn't even care about. Mm. Like, I've never been a person who's like, I must do comedy. That is my calling, blah, blah, blah. I just ended up in comedy.
Yeah.
And I like it.
So just wandered in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone gave me a job in PR tomorrow, I'd have just as fun of a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really don't care.
It's interesting that thing about chaos, because when you have grown up with a basically kind of anarchic surrounding, you find your peace in a lot of things that are
like the eye of the storm.
In the eye of the storm, being like, whoa. And then the minute that something kind of gets peaceful and okay and sort of stable. You're like, what is this?
I'm bored.
What is this witchcraft? Yeah. Satan.
Yeah.
Get thee behind me, and I need to get the fuck out of here. It's like anytime like a normal, stable relationship. You're like, yeah. What is this?
You're like, are you holding a knife? There has to be something behind this.
Stop calling me beautiful. I know that you're lying.
You're lying. In what way?
What's your game? What?
In what way? Be specific. Good luck. I'm crazy.
Your eyes. Wrong.
Lying.
I don't have eyes.
I don't even know what you even fucking talking about. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I realized I was in all these. A good moment. Like every adult has always said, the worst, you know, you have to hit rock bottom to go up. And I had never, and I realized at that moment, I had never had like a big failure before.
Yeah.
Like that was my first, everything was pretty stable and I was on I had momentum and I was on a slow rise. Yeah. And I had never actually faced, other than like childhood stuff, like real failure.
Yeah.
And failure makes you cool.
Failure makes you really, really cool.
It does.
It does.
It makes you a real human fucking being with a realistic, you know, view on how life works.
It gives you, it's where the greatest stories come from as well. Always, always, always my like greatest anecdotes have like spun out of a time where some shit really hit the fan.
Yeah.
Especially in a way that is like kind of out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's to like do with work or health or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like those real shit times when they take you down, those stem the greatest stories for future for other people.
Exactly. And it just makes you able to like get some clarity out of what you want. Like in that moment, everything was taken away and all of these things that sort of, in a way, fell in my lap. Not that I didn't work for them, but like I just ended up in these careers that I don't even know how the fuck I got there. And it was able, gave me a moment to be like, oh, do I even want to do this?
Yeah.
Do I even want to direct a documentary? I don't even watch documentaries.
Yeah.
I don't care about documentaries. I don't even watch the news. I don't want to know what's happening in the neighborhood over from me, let alone like dive in, you know. I just fell into that career and liked being on the ground floor of it. But like, I didn't have a strong drive for this piece that I was going to.
Yeah, this is why these moments are really, really important. And I mean, the last thing I ever wanted, though not the last thing, but one thing I never want to do is sit next to someone at dinner who's just been like,
oh my God, how insufferable.
Jesus. This is so boring.
Yeah.
But it's those moments where everything is taken away and suddenly there's this big kind of gaping void in space when you go, what is it that matters to me?
Mm-hmm.
And if I continue operating in the way that I am operating now, how happy am I going to be in 5 years' time? What needs to change here?
Yeah. And what, like, even just scheduling wise, how the fuck am I going to do all of this?
Yeah.
And exist in life in a happy way. Like, you can't do everything. And I think that's such a real thing when you're coming up in your 20s, especially as a woman, because you want to, like, prove yourself. You want to prove, like, I realized that my whole life, I had just been trying to prove that I'm smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no one was calling me stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm a woman and people are like, you're a stupid woman, but
and you're blonde
and you're blonde.
This doesn't make sense.
I have real Labrador energy.
Wait, this is the second time we've discussed Labrador energy
really?
Today. Yeah, because my boyfriend has real Labrador energy.
It's a certain type.
Yeah, it's cute. I love it.
Yeah, and what was I saying?
Oh, you know, being called stupid.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I was just always trying to put myself in the hardest situation to prove that I could do it.
Right.
And I realized that who was I trying to prove that to?
Mm-hmm.
Just myself.
Yeah.
But for no reason, because I don't think I'm stupid. I don't think I'm not a hard worker, all of these things. Yeah. I just realized that I was just like putting myself in the most insane situations to see if I could get out of them for sport.
Yeah. Like a game is literally a game. Can we get out of, like, get shoving yourself into, like, sore and going, how are we going to get out of this one, guys? See.
And that's that chaos.
The razor blades behind my eyeball. Let's see what happens. Let's
see what the fuck happens. Snap both my ankles.
How did you do, what was your experience like in high school?
I had a fine experience.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I have a twin brother.
Do you?
Yeah.
I said, do you? Like,
what? It shocks people for some reason. This. Well, twins are so, we're such little carnies, you know? Yeah. Every time anyone hears about a twin, they're like, oh, I forgot about that.
No, that's not a thing.
I have a twin brother, so I grew up very much so. I've always been like half tomboy, half girly girl, mm-hmm. which says a lot, of, once again, about half bougie, half white trash. Mm-hmm. So I never had any like girl friends growing up. I was always just like in the mud with the boys, but in a tutu.
I did that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time to like make friends. It's like when someone says the title in a movie and everyone's like,
fuck yeah.
God, it feels good. God, that feels good.
God damn, that's satisfying.
Oh my God, is she writing in a notebook? So it took me a while to make friends. And I started making friends in like in middle school. So I had only like guy friends.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a guy's girl. I'm not. I'm such a girl's girl. Until middle school. And then I was like sort of always. I mean, I think this says a lot. Like, I was always happy-go-lucky and the goofy one. I was the exact opposite of the beauty standard. Well, you have to understand, I grew up in Italian culture. And everyone is 5'2", with brown curly hair and big tits and a big ass.
Yeah.
And tan.
Yeah.
And I am a Jack Skellington, okay? I'm 5'10". I'm pale as hell. Yeah. I have blonde hair.
What does your brother look like? Is he similar?
Same, we look exactly the same.
Like, yeah. It's Italian family, like both these two Aryan twins.
Yeah, we look like two Dutch boys who live in the hills.
Where did you come from?
You look like aliens. Yeah, everyone, I was taller than all the guys. Like, I had no chance. So I was the goofy one, you know? Yeah. So I was like always the one that was like in the girl group. Everyone would bully me because I was like the whatever, which is fine. It made me funny and I'm killing it on TikTok.
Oh, fucking curse. And you don't know what they're doing, but they know what you're doing.
Hi, girls. Hope you're well. yeah.
Like academically, were you striving?
I was normal.
Yeah.
I did well, but I wasn't like going to Ivy Leagues. Like everything was fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I had a chaotic, you know, my parents were getting divorced, like 10-year brutal divorce. And my dad was away a lot. And my stepmom is like wild and my mom is wild. So I had an insane home life that made school very calm.
Yeah. If you've sort of existed through high school, it's like a particular thing, kind of like the goofy one, the one who's just kind of like there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the feeling of kind of existing on the periphery of stuff. You then kind of wanted to push myself into situations to be like, I'm here.
Yes.
See me. I'm here.
Ooh, I've never thought about that before. That defines my entire life. Wait a minute.
And that's the end of today's episode.
Bye, guys. I'm gonna go cry. Wow, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, Rachel, my therapist better step up. Not me learning things on a podcast.
Which is the place where no one learns anything.
Jesus Christ.
But that's what I definitely noticed about my own school days is that like I really existed on the periphery of stuff. No one cared if I was there, no one cared if I wasn't. Mm. Like I was just there. If I was there, cool, man. Like, Yeah. But like then getting to the point where you're like, no, I'm here. And so you push yourself, mm-hmm. push yourself. And it's like this thing of, I don't know, you're just like wanting to be certain of your own existence.
So real, Jesus. Yeah, I also think like, I was always the nice one.
Yeah.
And I never like talked shit about anyone. I just wanted peace. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think my whole life, I'm just so desperate for like peace and stability.
Yeah.
But I'm so drawn to the chaos in any situation or the challenge where one day, I mean, hopefully at 30, someone punches me in the face and I'm like, oh, I'm calm. I'll choose the calm option.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening.
I mean, I was such a shitbag in my 20s. I wasn't a shitbag. I was fine. It was never, ever malicious. It was just like, I just had no idea what was going on.
Well, no one does.
No one does.
Anytime I give advice to like young comics coming up, I'm like, fake it till you make it because your boss doesn't even know what the fuck is going on. I have lied to get so many jobs.
Oh my God, yeah.
That I have no business being at that in that office? And I'm like, yeah, I could video edit. No idea.
Yeah.
And then you just figure it out.
One of my favorite things that ever happened that taught me to like lie well, lie better, was I did an audition for this HBO series. And this role was like a classical singer. And I sing, if anything, I sing folk. I have never once sung classically in my entire life.
I mean, who does?
Who the fuck does? Lloyd Griffith. Sorry. Friend of the podcast, Lloyd Griffith.
Oh, hi, Lloyd.
I went in and they went, so do you sing? And I went, yeah, I've been singing since I was 9. Just plucked that out.
Love it.
Yeah, I've been singing since I was 9. And they went, do you sing classically? And I went, yeah, I've done like some classical singing. Mainly it's musical theatre, but I can sing classically. And they went, oh, brilliant. Well, this scene starts with her in the bath, obviously, because why wouldn't it?
Oh, movies love to get a bitch in a bath.
Bitch
in a bath right away, having a meltdown. I've never had a meltdown in a bath. I would say I feel pretty good.
I feel more at home having a meltdown in the shower because at least I can sit and let it wash over me.
Yeah, that's a little more the drama. You can't already be sitting and start crying. It's like a hat on a hat.
But they went, it starts with her in the bath and she's singing. So if you could just like improvise an aria, that would be amazing.
What did you sing? Ave Maria?
I literally, the blood rushed my face and I said the exact words. All the arias have gone out of my head.
And then I said, no one ever.
I started humming and they just went, okay, no, you don't have to sing. I was so fucking humiliated. And that's what taught me to lie. Still lie, don't get me wrong, but lie better.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's a ridiculous thing to ask. Someone to improv an aria? Hey, can you sit down at this piano and improv Beethoven, please? I know you're under stress because this is an HBO audition. Can you improv ballet for us? What assholes?
It doesn't have to be ballet, like, precise, but, like, near ballet. Just do that.
Can you do a backflip for us now?
Can you just improvise?
And then start the scene. God, being an actor sucks.
Fuck, it's the fucking worst.
Every time I get an audition, I'm like... Do you hate? Oh, hello.
Hello, puppet.
He's like, I heard improv ballet.
His full title is Michael Catley, Lord of the Prance.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Did you go to college?
I did.
Where did you go?
I went. This is another example of me just sort of falling into things. Mm. I grew up doing music because my parents are in music. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I didn't want to do it. And I don't even like, I was just sort of going with the motions, which I've done.
Yeah.
Seemingly every single time. And I was like, you know what? What's another performance thing I could do? Maybe I'll try acting. And my parents were like, okay. Like, no. Like, hey, maybe be a lawyer.
Yeah, you know.
No guidance to be like, I know you don't want to be a waitress forever. Maybe try business. But they said, no, sure. Go to school for acting, you idiot.
Is that what you did?
And I did. I went to school for acting and I went to this one program and I liked the energy and I liked the vibes. And I realized, and that's all I made my decision on. Mm. And I realized that I signed up for a major in experimental theater. And I had never done theater. I hadn't read a play. I hadn't even read one play. And these weren't like, how to succeed in business without really trying. No, this was like Chekhov.
Yeah.
This was like Russian communist.
How to succeed in business without really theater. Trying. Such a niche one as well.
That musical that Nick Jonas starred in.
Yeah.
Saw that because of Nick. So I ended up in this like insane major that was like difficult, crazy theater and movement. And like, we'd go to Bromania all the time and like could do plays there. Like, it was very intense. And I found out when I got there, that's what I was doing. And I was just like, okay.
Going with the flow again.
Gonna do it.
Yeah.
But I'm happy I went there because once again, it was like something I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And I was day one, everyone around me had a very clear view of what they wanted to do and they knew a lot about the subject and they were very confident. And I was like, I'm going to fucking fake it till I make it. And I'm going to be the best in this program. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have this like psychotic drive to be the best at shit I don't care about.
Yeah, I completely understand
it. It's so weird.
No, I completely understand it.
Yeah.
After this period of time, going back to when you broke the feet, it was the time. How long did it take for you to start sort of getting back onto a trajectory that you were happy with or, you know, felt that you were moving somewhere?
Yeah, I healed enough and I finally broke up with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it was like so codependent because he was truly, and he sort of, because I wanted to break up and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So he really took that moment as like, let me prove to her that I could care for her and blah, 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 which doesn't help codependency, by the way, if you double down.
Guys, it is something that I've learned. You cannot fold enough laundry to make a relationship work.
Yeah. And then you just start getting the ick and it's... Yeah. You know. Not to trigger the men by saying the ick, but so I broke up with him and we had been together for like almost 2 years and lived together. So that was very intense. That breakup was very intense. We ended up getting back together like 4 times. Like, it was psychotic.
Rough.
But then I went to Europe for a month.
Lovely.
With my girls, and that will heal the deepest of wounds. And then I just doubled down on my career. And it was the first time in my life that I wasn't dating or had a crush or had some sort of like, I always find a distraction in men.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I actually lifted that and was able to focus on what I wanted to do and what my life could be and what I actually cared about. Like, date a guy for 6 months that I don't even know what the fuck his middle name is.
Yeah.
Just because I need some sort of distraction from, it's like, it's procrastination in its truest form. Mm-hmm. So it was the first time I didn't have that layer and I was just running towards my goals that I had figured out. And it was amazing.
Yeah. It's that distraction with men, done it many times, that lovely little hit of dopamine that just keeps you buzzing. It does stop a lot when it's not right.
Yes. And the moment you could sit in your bed at night watching TV and no one's in there with you and you are like, oh,
yeah,
I am in true peace right now.
Yeah.
And now you're not texting any guys. Like, there's no one on your phone. Like, you're absolutely stripped of it.
Yeah.
And you find peace in that and you enjoy it is the best feeling.
Yeah, it really, really is.
I wish I could tell myself that at fucking 21 when I was just like, desperate for any sort of male attention.
I know.
The moment you don't need it is so delicious.
You're not sat on WhatsApp. But it is that moment of having that peace when you're not attached to someone, something, waiting.
Yeah.
Doing the thing, having the feelings, and you're like, oh, I'm actually good. I'm good.
Oh, I like myself. Yeah. Like, you actually get to sit alone with yourself and figure out what is going on in your head other than fantasizing.
Yeah.
About a guy, and I hate to bring astrology into this, but I'm going to because this is my face. But yeah, I'm a Pisces, so I'm like obsessed with any sort of like daydreaming and fantasy and anything. And I get really stuck in that where I'm like already, I'm never in the moment. I'm already thinking about the future, whatever that may be. I'm already fantasizing about the guy or a situation or whatever that I could never actually settle in space and time. And the moment that you are stripped of even the opportunity of fantasizing and you could actually live in time and space is so amazing.
Fantasy addiction is a real weird one. Because I think it hurts. It hurts a lot, and it hurts if it's when it's mixed with something like love addiction, because when you enter into something, you immediately go and then if it doesn't work out, if you lose the thing, not only are you losing the thing, you're losing the fantasy.
Yeah.
So your future that you planned out, unintentionally, it's such a natural thing to do. Not only that, you're losing your future, so everything before you looks fucking blank.
Yeah.
And that's why it hurts so much. Why you're like, well, what do I do now?
Right.
But I think it's so important. I would say this to so many women. Being alone for a period of time to know that you can do it and you will be fine, if not better.
Better. Girls, when you don't have to baby feed a goddamn idiot in your apartment, bless his heart, it is so nice. You get so much done. I bought a gel manicure kit. Like, I could change my color every week.
Yeah.
It is so amazing when you, and I mean, I'm in such the habit of this, and I know a lot of women are who date men who just need a lot. Men need so much more than women. That stereotype is so flipped. Like, I'm very independent, and I always end up dating someone who is in some sort of duress, and I have to help them, and I have to guide them through life. And to not have another job on top of my job I already have is so freeing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I have so much time.
And it's weird the things that, like, I'll load and empty the dishwasher, I'll load and empty the washing machine. And then if the man does it once, and this is a huge generalization. I'm not saying all men, because absolutely that is not the case. I've just had experience with men like this. If they do it once, I'm like, well done.
Yeah.
Well, you did that all on your own. I mean, that's a me problem as well. But
no, I'm the same way. I also just hate having to tell men to do that. But I'm like going out with a clean freak right now, and I highly suggest.
Yeah, that's nice.
I feel dirty. I've never felt that. And there's not even a fucking, I could put an empty cup on the table and it's gone. And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
When did you first start doing comedy, like properly?
Fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. I was what, 21, 22? Mm-hmm. I had always wanted to like play the funny roles, but I always got cast as like, I don't know if you've ever read like a woman in a play, but they are a pathetic excuse for a human being.
Also, we had to say, because I went to drama school as well, and it was like classical theater training course. So I did a lot of Chekhov.
Yeah.
And a lot of Shakespeare. Shakespeare a little bit different, but like a lot of Chekhov where you're just sort of lounging on a chaise longue.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, life.
Oh, me.
Oh, me. Oh, Moscow. I want to go to Moscow.
It's right, like, girl, go to Manhattan, Moscow.
Guys.
Yeah, it's just like some like wimpy little woman who can't breathe because her corset's too tight. And she's like, honestly, I just want a glass of water. Yeah. Like, I'm thirsty. I think all my problems could be solved by a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to play like the old man or like the person in a fat suit or like, you know, at one point I played like a catfish. And they painted rosacea all over my face because I was like a gross little catfish. Like that was those were the parts I wanted to play.
Yeah.
So then I started leaning towards sketch comedy, and then I had a sketch comedy group. And then I did that thing where I'm like, what's the hardest version of this I could possibly find? Oh, let me try stand up.
Yeah.
Because it's just you alone, and you can't rely on your looks, you can't rely on your clothes. The only thing you could rely on is what you fucking wrote.
Yeah.
By yourself.
Yeah. I genuinely think it's one of the scariest things.
It's insane.
It's terrifying.
And it's terrifying every time.
Yeah.
Even when you're like doing well, you're still on stage like.
There's
it's such high adrenaline and maybe I enjoy that feeling.
So at this point in the podcast, We'd like to sort of circle back to what we discussed at the start, that this period of time that you had. Are you looking back on it? And it's a weird question to ask, but it's like I said at the beginning, I'm so grateful for what happened to me because it led me to where I am now. Mm-hmm. Are you in any way grateful for that time and what happened?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we said, it like gave you the space to understand what you really wanted. And
it just taught me so much, and it gave me some sort of like a real outlook on life that failures happen and you could hit rock bottom. Like I was rock bottom. Mm. I hated life for the first time ever. Mm. And I've always been sort of, even in my, you know, darkest childhood moments or whatever, I've always really been a happy-go-lucky kid and person. Mm. So experiencing like depression for the first time and, you know, like hating myself and hating my situation and not knowing how to get out and then crawling out from that and doing it by myself.
Yeah.
Was so empowering.
Yeah.
And I feel fucking invincible now that that happened to me.
It shows you exactly what you're made of.
It really does. And it just makes you an adult.
Yeah.
And it just, now I'm trying to make choices that make sense for me instead of just saying yes to everything and running in every direction and, you know, throwing things against the wall and just waiting for something to stick. I'm like, no, there has to be some sort of, you know, goal and some sort of like linear path.
Yeah.
And
some kind of like value alignment in some way.
And the only person to put me on that, you know, road is me.
Yeah.
I can't just keep fucking doing whatever just because it's there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it gave me like tunnel vision in a good way. Mm. Where I'm like, this is my life. I have full control over it. You don't have to do things you don't want to do just because they're there. And also within dating, it's like, I'll never, or I'll try to never find myself in like a codependent situation again. Yeah. And I realized I had a pattern of the men I was choosing, as we all do.
We all do.
And I just love my diseases that I love a British guy. And they're so sad.
The Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so sad.
So very
sad. And they love to be sad.
Yeah.
And then they look at me and they're like, oh, a ball of sunshine. Yeah. That'll help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah,
it won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no.
No, it won't.
No. No, it won't. I've said this so many times. I've said it to so many people when they are really, when you're in that place and you're like, oh, I didn't know that rock bottom had a fucking basement.
Yeah, Jesus.
And it's so bad. But when you do come out of that, you're like, holy hell, I can do anything.
Yeah.
I can do fucking, I can wallpaper my house. Easy.
Yeah. Oh, the moment you realize you could wallpaper your house.
The moment you realize you can just like do shit. You can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Entering your 30s is a delicious experience.
It is fucking heavenly, I tell you.
It feels so good.
It does. It really, really does teach you what you're made of. And also I think that one of the greatest gifts that it gives is a deep level of empathy for others. If you're not someone who's experienced something like clinical depression or extreme anxiety or anything like that, when you're put in that situation of going, oh fuck, this is what it feels like, you then continue that forward and understand and help, and you know, within your own boundaries, but being able to understand when someone else is in that situation. This point in the podcast, we like to ask this question. Actually, I don't know. I think I'm trying to think, because usually we have a lot of British people on the podcast, obviously, because this is where we are. And British people tend to get very awkward and uncomfortable with this question. But I think with a couple of people from the States, they've been a bit easier about it.
What is
it? So let's see.
What is it?
What are the things about you as a person that you genuinely love and cherish?
I could so see British people just like squirming at this.
Fucking hate it.
We have a segment on my podcast called Give Me Wings, and we like compliment like cum blast you basically. And
models.
Yeah. And British people who come on are like, oh, I hate it. Yeah. Can you just call me a bell end or something?
Yeah.
They're like, oh. They're like, no, don't compliment me. I'd sooner kill myself.
No, I'm
and we're like, take it.
I'm fucking trash. I'm trash.
No, I like myself. I'm fine. I think, what do I like about myself? I think I'm very good at experiencing, at choosing joy and choosing to see the positive. And I'm a very loyal friend. Mm-hmm. That's something I pride myself on. and I'm just interested in having fun. Like, mm-hmm. I have no ulterior motives. Ulterior motives? Yeah. Whatever one you choose. You girls pick one of those things I just said and run with it. Yeah, I don't need anything from you. I don't want anything from you. I just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I just want to make friends and relations and experience joy.
Yeah.
And I truly don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice quality to have, especially in this, the career, like the demons that you meet in this, in Hollywood and whatever you would call it here, the West End,
London,
in London. Yeah, they're such creeps and pervs. And I just want to make friends.
Yeah.
And I want to know your secrets and I want to know who your crush is.
Yeah.
And I want to giggle.
Yes, I love it.
And I want to riff above all.
Yeah.
All I care about is riffing.
That's amazing. That's really good. That's
what are your
really
qualities?
Every so often that gets asked back, and mm-hmm. I immediately go like,
what's your qualities like in like now, in this moment? Because it's always ever changing, I find.
I'm always very, very grateful for my bravery.
Mm.
Very, very fucking brave. And it's like I always, the greatest compliment I can give anyone is fearlessness. I think it's such an amazing quality.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to me in going into recovery and coming back and losing a lot of friends and a lot of people and having this kind of quite public, I say public, it wasn't, I'm like, that was fucking splashed across newspapers, but in terms of people who know me and the circle I was in, it was very public and I was very humiliated. And a lot of people kind of went, how did you come back from that? And I fucking did and actually thrived on it.
She's badass.
And that's that quality. I'm like, damn, that's actually really fucking cool.
Oh, and it feels so good.
It feels so good. And also, like, I saw something the other day and I was like, that's just so bang on. Where it was like, even when I'm having a breakdown, I'll still make a joke, and that's why people are lucky to have me in their lives.
Yeah.
Like, that's so bang on. Even when I was like full-blown nervous breakdown on my way to rehab, I made some kind of joke about like, I can't, it was something about being like diseased. I can't, and like my brother being like, girl.
It's so chic to be the funniest girl in rehab. It's so
fucking chic to be the funniest girl in rehab. That is the title.
I've never been to rehab, but I can imagine.
Being the funniest girl.
But I'm trying to go. My friend just got out of rehab and she was telling me about it. And bless her. I mean, she's doing amazing. But I was like, honestly, that sounds like a nice trip.
That sounds.
Some of these nice rehabs out here, you're like, what is that? Fucking. Boca? Like, that sounds amazing.
I was going to go to the one in America as well where Selena Gomez went. And that was chic as fuck.
They're chic. At that point, it's not rehab. It's a retreat.
That's not rehab, man. Yeah. What I went to was rehab. Yeah. It was rough.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I'm really grateful for my, really grateful for fearlessness, really grateful for bravery. I'm also just, I'm a very kind person. And even in the moments when I fucked up because I wasn't well, I really wasn't well, and didn't know, and I had several undiagnosed disorders which were causing me to behave in a way that wasn't great, but nothing was ever done with malicious intent.
Right.
And I've always been very sorry, very, 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 probably too sorry.
Yeah.
But kindness, I think one of the greatest things that you can be is kind. It probably is. Just be kind. Just be nice. Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah, so fucking easy.
Anytime anyone's a dickhead, I'm like, that is taking so much energy.
Oh, why? How do you have the space and time?
Why do you care so much about me?
Yeah.
That you need to use your energy to be a dick?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm nice to everyone because I don't ultimately cares to make
it.
The effort yeah. to be an asshole.
Why do I want to ruin your day and like what energy is that taking?
What?
Like,
that's a job.
What are you doing that means that you have that amount of energy?
It's so weird to me yeah. where I'm like, it takes so much less effort just to be like, hey, how are you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. I've come across so many people who are just like, that's like your old fashioned bitch. And yeah. I'm like, why?
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 You're going to get wrinkles.
Goodbye, silky hair.
Yeah.
Smooth skin.
Gosh. Drink a lemonade and lighten up.
This point in the podcast, we have a portion that we call thank you letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but something, somewhere, someone for which you are grateful, for whom you are grateful.
That's so cute. I love that. Mm. There are so many people. I love my friends so much. And I love my family for the most part.
For the most part.
I will choose my best friend named Zach Senor, who I do my podcast with as well.
Oh, he's lovely.
He is.
I looked at it. Perfect. I was deep diving.
Yeah.
Research.
He's of course. Lovely. The idea of you going on my Instagram as research is absolutely insane. Yeah, there's nothing scientific about that page.
Research.
This is research. I'm like, Zach. Okay, I met Zach long before we did comedy. Mm-hmm. We both got cast in the same play together in college.
Okay.
And
I wanted to be something fucking bleak as shit.
It was Dangerous Liaisons.
Oh.
So we were two absolute monster whores.
Cruel
on stage. And
were you like, were you Catherine and Sebastian?
I was the, I never seen Cruel Intentions. I've only seen Dangerous Liaisons. Mm-hmm. But he was John Malkovich and I was the main woman. Yeah. What's her name? The main evil whore.
Yeah.
We were like immediate, you know, the, when you meet someone and you're like, oh, you're my soulmate.
Yeah.
Friendship wise.
Yeah.
Like inseparable. And he's so specifically special to me because he is a person that brings out my inner child and my inner like joy and play and play in a way that no one I've ever met does. And he just like sparks this like true childlike giggle in me. That is so healing. You know, you have those friends, you're like, you're great friends and you have adult conversation, blah, blah, blah. And him and I are like two 10-year-olds at a sleepover party, like just getting into trouble.
Yeah.
You know? And he just, it's truly like truly the light of my life.
Yeah.
Doing the podcast together and being able to like make that our job now and get paid to be best friends is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm. And I just... I'm so proud of him and excited to see where he goes because he's the funniest person alive.
Shout out to
Zach Senor. You could follow him at Quack Wacko on Instagram.
Quack Wacko.
My quack. He's a gorgeous gay man if you're a gay guy.
He's very lovely.
He's stunning.
He's beautiful.
Rocking bod, 6'3", stunning. A lot of people online think we're dating, which is so funny.
I love it when that happens.
Because every other word is gay that comes out of his mouth. Yeah. So the fact that someone can like have such erasure in their mind and see him as my boyfriend is so funny. You know what's another thing I love about him that I think is beautiful?
Yeah.
Is that in this career, everyone has such extreme goals. And we are always like, if this doesn't work out, we'll just move to a town and have the best time.
Yeah.
Like we are both on the same page of like, there are so many other options and other opportunities. And wherever we land, we will have the best time.
Happiness exists outside of this realm, very small realm. And that's such an important thing to remember with this stuff.
I think it exists even more.
Yeah, it does. Oh my God, 100%. Yeah.
And we both appreciate that and see that. And I think that's so important to have in your friend group within entertainment of people being like, hey, like this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even at the highest of highs. And we're so excited for each other. We're still like, Connecticut might be calling.
Connecticut.
Don't forget.
You guys opening like an apricot farm in Connecticut.
Yeah, we have like a little skincare shop in town.
It's like the Rose of Bovigurian.
Yeah, and we're both. Exactly. Yeah. We're both just like the meanest bitches in the PTA meeting. We're like toxic turning moms against each other.
I fucking watched five seasons of this. It's amazing.
It's picture Schitt's Creek, but no redeeming qualities. And they're
turning moms against
each other. Elizabeth, I heard something about you this weekend at school pickup. Women are spiraling in our town. And we're doing it for sport.
You go from town to town.
Wrecking communities.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so funny. I binge watched that for an entire weekend.
It's good. Maybe we should write that into a show.
100%. Is there anything coming up that you can talk about that I can link below? For the listeners?
Sure. Well, you could listen to my podcast called Le Podcast.
I don't know why that made me laugh so much.
Because it's insane. L apostrophe podcast. That's not how you spell it in French. And we found that out too late. it's joy in your ears. And you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Gabby is Brian. And I'm going to be on ITV stand-up sketch show whenever that comes out.
Very excited.
I'm, you know, sort of bi-coastal New York and London. So I'm here a lot and I post that on my Instagram.
Nice.
And that's it.
That is.
I do shows all the time. Come. I do shows almost every night. Come out and hang and
that
kiss.
That is all there is to it. At the end of the day.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a joy.
This was really fun. I feel fucking happy. I feel like a feral 10-year-old at a sleepover. That's not how I feel.
Sleepover party energy. It's all I care about.
It's when I started getting asthma.
Yeah.
Because I get too overexcited.
Yeah.
And I don't have my inhaler.
We need to get you an inhaler, actually.
Thank you so much. It's been such a joy. I will link everything down below. So please pay a visit to the podcast bio. But yeah, this was fucking amazing. Thank you.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.